So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And in this season, we're talking about connecting our lives to God, our work and our faith. And last week, I talked about that kind of in general, about how does our work, and I'm using work in the very broadest sense to mean what we do with our days, whether you're retired or you go to 9 to 5 or you take care of children or parents or family members, your work. How does your work and your faith connect? And last week I suggested you learn this Bible passage from Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Today I suggest that you learn this passage from Colossians. We're going to hear this in a minute. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's more to that. But if you get that much, it'll be really good. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're going to start this morning by hearing a psalm and then two little passages that talk about teaching and learning as we honor today those who teach. I'm going to give you a chance right now. If you have ever taught anybody anything, could you rise? Have you ever taught anybody anything? Okay, give yourselves a big hand. You can sit back down. We're going to start with a psalm.
Our first scripture reading is Psalm 32, verses 6 through 11. It can be found in the Old Testament in your pew Bibles on page 507 or on the screen. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy for all you upright in heart. The word of God for the people of God.
And now words from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. And the words from Colossians that Sharon was just mentioning. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Do whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. Deeper than our words, deeper than our knowing, Holy Spirit, dwell in us. We open the doors of our hearts for you. Amen. So a fourth grader was asked to write a sentence about what he liked. And this is a testament to why commas are a good idea. I like cooking, my family, and pets. Commas, which were essential in that sentence, commas make us take a pause and listen and think. And that's what good teachers do too. Good teachers, for themselves, take a pause. They listen and think and make a change if needed, or need many needed changes sometimes. And then good teachers help us, their students, take a pause, add a comma, listen, think, and make needed changes. I'd like to talk for just a minute about teachers today. And I'm going to begin by talking about teachers in schools. How many of you remember these days? Remember those desks? Yeah. Actually, this one is an end table in my house now, but I remember those days. Desks like that or similar ones to that. Well, those days are gone in many ways and for many reasons, and many of them are good reasons. Today, teaching is more like this. A teacher said to a student, "You copied Fred's exam paper, didn't you?" And the pupil says, "Well, how did you know?" And the teacher said, "A question on Fred's paper says, 'I don't know.' And you put, 'Me neither.'" There are a lot of challenges for teachers today. Funding and a commitment to education and families, and the list goes on and on. And then we have people like Daniel Sanchez, who you saw on the video, and many other teachers like him, some of you sitting in this room right now, who teach or who have taught in schools. You see, Daniel sees teaching, and I know many of you do too. Daniel sees teaching as a calling. There's no way to separate his life and his work. He is a teacher. It's partly why I asked you all to stand up before. He is a teacher. He's called to make the world better. And after, you heard him say, after wrestling with that call for a while, he came to this place of, this is what God is calling me to do. To teach, to learn, to give of myself so that others can learn. That makes us think of commas, of taking a pause, to listen and think and make needed changes and ask, how is my work joining with the work God is doing in the world? And perhaps we begin today with gratitude. We begin today with gratitude for all the teachers in schools whose lives reflect their faith. We take a minute and fill out one of those little cards. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for teaching my children. Thank you for teaching my grandchildren, my nieces and nephews. Let's talk for a minute about teaching in church. Lots of you have been teachers in church, some of you for children and youth, and there are some challenges with that nowadays. Families have many divided commitments. There's lots of pressure on time. For even adults who are learning, time is always a great pressure. And for teachers in the church, we have kind of this should not be news to anybody, kind of a divided nation nowadays, don't we? So that's a challenge for teachers in the church, to balance their teaching in a way that people can learn and grow. We have so many teachers in our church who take seriously a call to teach and a call to live their faith. This is in the tradition of Jesus, you see. We have many dedicated teachers, and so to you teachers in the church, today we say thanks as well. I know that you practice commas in your own lives, and you help us do that too. You truly take the question seriously, how does my work in the broadest sense, what I do with my days, connect to what God is doing in the world? You, who teach in the church, whether you're sitting in a classroom or you're sitting in a committee meeting or all kinds of other ways that we teach in the church, you teach in order to form children and youth and adults in faith. And that, I know, brings us great joy, and it is a great task. So I'm going to take a pause here for just a second and talk about Jesus and teaching. Do you know that the word teach appears over 300 times in Scripture? Isn't that amazing? You could find one for almost every day of the year if you wanted to. Jesus spends a lot of time teaching. He teaches his followers. He teaches those who are not yet following him. Sometimes it's just him and his closest disciples. And sometimes he teaches the people who oppose him. Imagine that. Sometimes he sits with the people who he knows oppose him and works to teach them. Sometimes he teaches a crowd. He becomes known as a rabbi, which means teacher. So we have our model teacher in Jesus. Way more than I have time to talk about today. Here is a tiny bit. In the passage from Luke chapter 6, Jesus has come to a level place on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he begins to teach. And he says, among other things, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. And then he gets to this little passage. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. And then he goes on to talk about that passage about a speck in a person's own eye. And how so often we worry about that speck in another person's eye when really we have a big old log in ours that needs to come out. And he says that, he talks about that in Luke chapter 6. And what he's saying here, that we need to learn about bringing our faith and our life together. And that when we do that, we are qualified to be teachers. And we are all in it together. Nobody is better or worse than another person. By his teaching, Jesus shows us how to join God's work. God's work in the world to bring healing and hope and joy and new life. Now, in some ways, as you saw when you all stood up, all of us are teachers in some way. There are these ancient words from Scripture that form Jesus and his followers and all his followers from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. And the question for us becomes, what are we teaching by our lives? Teaching is a part of the work of our lives. It's part of the way that we join in God's work. Take a moment for a comma, for a pause to listen and think and maybe change. What are we teaching? You know, our first question is, what are we learning? What are we learning day by day? How are we learning about joining in the work of God? What are your sources of learning? Do you spend your time on 24-hour news? Pretty well guarantee that you're not learning about the things of God. Right? Really good to be informed about current events, but if you're sitting for hours and hours watching 24-hour news, whatever channel it is, it's not forming you in the things of God. Where and what do we learn? Are we learning how to join in God's work in the world by joining in Bible studies and daily prayer and meditation and joining with Christian friends for a conversation? Do we take a true moment for a comma to pause and listen and think and change and listen to Jesus and then listen to those who have joined their lives with God's work and join them? You know them because they're sitting around you here in the pews. People who have joined their lives to God and God's work. And we are challenged this day to think about what change do we need to make in order to do that as well, to join our lives to the work of God. And then we get to teach with joy and humility to join in God's work. Remember, friends, we teach by our lives. We teach by our words. We teach by our actions. How is what we say and do joined to the work of God in the world, which is to bring joy and life to all of creation? I close with these words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, with gratitude in your hearts. sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Amen.